Well, good evening and welcome to Evening Under Lamplight, and thank you, Patrick. This is Cambridge 105, and I'm Robert Louis Abrahamson, and I'm inviting you to attend Evening Under Lamplight and to attend to Evening Under Lamplight. And tonight's show is about fools, jokers, jesters, the whole crowd. Funny men, we might say, but that's only part of it, because fools, as you know, are also the wise men, the only wise men, perhaps. And so I would ask you, when did you last play the fool? And how much wisdom was uncovered by your folly? Now, there's something very interesting now, because tonight I'm coming to you live. This is the first time I've done a live show since Cambridge 105 began. It's been a year, almost exactly, since I did the last live show for 209 Radio. More than that, this is the first time ever I've done a show without everything scripted, so I am improvising and speaking to you, perhaps much more relaxed, I don't know. We'll find out, but there is a chance that this will go wrong, and I'm delighted to be taking that risk. But let's hear some more of the Vivaldi, and I'll be right back. There we are. Let's start then. And I think I'm going to read this part because it's a little bit tough. Let's start then with the fools as objects of ridicule. It's a popular subject in 18th century literature. The 18th century was a time of secularization, with a move away from inflammatory religious language towards a less highly charged way of talking about the world. One example is the shift in public discourse from sinners to fools. A sinner is someone who is evil in his or her heart and needs heartfelt repentance and the grace of God to reform. A fool, however, is someone who is muddle-headed. Fools are people who just don't use their brain or imagination to see the world aright. If we can make them see their folly and laugh, then they might be shamed and change their ways. That's the aim of satire. The great master, of course, is Jonathan Swift. Let me introduce you to one of his great satiric lines. But first, some background, and we have to build up to this one single line. Bear with me. In A Tale of a Tub, Swift mocks the current trend in literature for inserting digressions into long arguments, as he laughs at the way human intellect is so weak that it cannot stay long on course. We know this feature today as the short attention span. So the storyline of A Tale of a Tub is broken with several digressions. A digression concerning critics, a digression in the modern kind, a digression in praise of digressions, and finally, a digression concerning the original, the use and improvement of madness in a commonwealth. In his last digression on madness, Swift sets himself up as a self-important philosopher who holds that it is always better just to look at the surface of things than to analyze and probe deeper. Those who insist on going deeper are perverting nature, one of whose eternal laws it is to put her best furniture forward, he says. And we can save lots of time and expense if we abandon all these attempts to dissect. As he says, in most corporeal beings which have fallen under my cognizance, the outside hath been infinitely preferable to the in, whereof I have been further convinced from some late experiments. Who can object to his ideas, since he has conducted experiments to back up these ideas? That's what science does, right? As soon as someone in a piece of writing by Swift talks about experiments, though, we get the feeling that something awful or at least absurd is going to happen. Here's his first experiment or observation. Last week, I saw a woman flayed. That is, a woman, presumably a corpse, with her skin cut off. And you will hardly believe how much it altered her person for the worse. Well, yes, that proves it, doesn't it? The surface is always preferable to what lies beneath, since once you take off a person's skin, well, it's just awful looking underneath. Well, here's another experiment. Yesterday, I ordered the carcass of a beau, that is, the body of some man dressed in all the latest gorgeous fashions, to be stripped in my presence, when we were all amazed to find so many unsuspected faults under one suit of clothes. Then I laid open his brain, his heart, and his spleen, but I plainly perceived at every operation that the farther we proceeded, we found the defects increase upon us, in number and bulk. Therefore, it is better just to stay with superficial things and be happy, rather than go probing too deeply and exposing all sorts of nastiness and villainy. We will thus be able to live, and here's the great line I was telling you about, in the sublime and refined point of felicity called the possession of being well deceived, the serene and peaceful state of being a fool among knaves. A fool among knaves. As so often, Swift presents us with just two extremes. We can be either fools or knaves, that is, villains. Given this choice, which would you go for? The fool is happy in his superficial ignorance. The knave is discontent and wicked, but at least he sees into the depths of things. Which one is better? Well, if we start thinking seriously about these two options, then it turns out that we're the fools. Because life does not offer us just these two options. It's not a choice between pretty exteriors and horrible interiors. Think of the other options, and don't be fooled by the simple choice of fool or knave. There, to conclude that brief 18th century look at fools was the Scherzo from Haydn's Five Arrangements for Piano Trio, played by the Van Swieten Trio. A scherzo is the translation into music of human folly or the joking spirit. Next, fools in love. The question is, why do fools fall in love? Or better yet, why does love make fools of people? Here's a song called, as you might expect, Why Do Fools Fall in Love? And your mind may be running through the tune already. It's written by Frankie Lyman and two others in 1955, when Frankie Lyman, this little kid in New York, was only 13 years old. But he had a lovely high voice. That was his trademark. 2 years later, at age 15, he'd be addicted to heroin, supplied to him by someone he said he was carrying on with who was twice his age. That makes her 30. He went in for that sort of thing. And poor Frankie Lyman died at the age of 25 of a heroin overdose. He'd been clean for 3 years, but shot up one day to celebrate a new record contract, which might have revived his career. His celebrations went wrong. Poor fool. But his song still lives. Now, let's not attend to the words. Why do birds sing so gay? What a stupid line. Lovers, why do lovers awake at the break of day? Well, we know why, don't we? or they want to get away before they're discovered, or they want to have more time cuddling and caressing, or do they only just go to sleep at the break of day? Don't listen to the words. Attend to Frankie Lyman's soprano voice. In the old days, he'd have been castrated in order to preserve that voice, but they didn't do this in the 1950s. And so much for Frankie's career. There we go, the sound of the 50s, of course, but we're not asking you to be nostalgic. We're asking you to attend to the sound of the 50s, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, Why Do Fools Fall in Love? And a special tribute in passing to Jerry Blavitt, the geeter with the heater, who did so much to bring these songs alive for us in Philadelphia. All right. Such a simplistic song needs some sort of corrective, and the best kind of corrective is satire. To satirize these self-pitying, fool-in-love songs. And who better than Frank Zappa, the master of satire of this sort of thing? And his best album of this sort is called Cruising with Reuben and the Jets, or better this, Cruisin' with Reuben and the Jets. There are two versions of that album, and he remastered it later on, but I'm going to play you the original vinyl version, which I think is better. A lot of people agree with me, too. Cruisin' with Reuben and the Jets is a great compilation of rock and roll and doo-wop songs, but they exaggerate the adolescent self-pity and the foolish naivete. And the music is excellent parody. And of course, all parodists love the things they're making fun of. So this song is called How Could I Be Such a Fool? Now that's Ray Collins, not Frankie Lyman singing, but attend to the Frankie Lyman imitation and and the monotonous piano and drums as if they don't know what else to do. But listen closely, and you'll hear something very sophisticated going on here. And it's coming up now, I hope. Let's go. 1, 2, 3. Now that's the wrong song. Try again. Thank you.
I shed my tears in lonely misery. I know now you never really loved me. Oh, it hurts me now to think you never really cared. I sit and ask myself a thousand times.
Stop it there. Poor guy. How could I be taken in by your sweet face? You stole my love. You ruined my life. I'm so torn down. I'm a terrible disgrace. And then the threat. There will come a time you'll regret the way you treated me. 'Cause if I was a fool, I didn't know the many times you lied about your love for me. Someone is gonna know your love is just a show. Someone, someday, the adolescent compensation. Well, we can turn it around now. Not the lover as the fool, but the other one as the fool, or worse, an idiot. That brings us to our Bob Dylan song called Idiot Wind. I'm going to read the lyrics to help you out. And also, well, because I love to do it. And if you don't like it, you can always just let me know. And here's how you can let me know. You can reach me by my rather new email address, lamplight@cambridge105.fm. Isn't that cool? We've got a .fm email address. lamplight@cambridge105.fm. And the website is momentsunderlamplight.com. Now, there's some controversy about the meaning of the lyrics of Idiot Wind, especially because it was written around the time of Dylan's divorce, and people try to work out what it tells us about Dylan's marriage and his divorce and his feelings. That's not really, I think, our business. Our business is with the song itself. I'm not going to give you any great interpretation. I'll give you just the words and a few things to notice while we're going on. The song begins in an odd place. The speaker is one of those people in the news who have all sorts of rumors floating around their name. What has this to do with the broken-down love affair or marriage that the song is about? Is it an introduction of the theme of feeling unjustly persecuted? Someone's got it in for me. They're planting stories in the press. Whoever it is, I wish they'd cut it out quick, but when they will, I can only guess. They say I shot a man named Gray and took his wife to Italy. She inherited $1 million, and when she died, it came to me. I can't help it if I'm lucky. People see me all the time, and they just can't remember how to act. Their minds are filled with big ideas, images, and distorted facts. Even you, and now we come to the idiot lover. Even you, yesterday, you had to ask me where it was at. I couldn't believe, after all these years, you didn't know me any better than that, sweet lady. Idiot wind, blowing every time you move your mouth, blowing down the back roads heading south. Idiot wind, blowing every time you move your teeth. You're an idiot, babe. It's a wonder that you still know how to breathe. There's the old Dylan, the expert at invective. All that anger towards someone who's done him wrong, and such dexterity in expressing it. I ran into the fortune teller who said beware of lightning that might strike. I haven't known peace and quiet for so long I can't remember what it's like. There's a lone soldier on the cross, smoke pouring out of a boxcar door. You didn't know it. You didn't think it could be done. In the final end, he won the war after losing every battle. I woke up on the roadside daydreaming about the way things sometimes are. Visions of your chestnut mare shoot through my head and are making me see stars. You hurt the ones that I love best and cover up the truth with lies. One day you'll be in the ditch, flies buzzing round your eyes, blood on your saddle. Phew. The intensity of the hatred grows and grows. Yet keeping it grounded throughout is the very tight rhyme scheme, so tight we may not even notice it. Here we've just had lightning that might strike, remember what it's like, pouring out of a boxcar door, he won the war after losing every battle, the way things sometimes are, making me seem stars, cover up the truth with lies, flies buzzing round your eyes, blood on your saddle. And then the wild chorus again. Idiot wind, blowing through the flowers on your tomb, blowing through the curtains in your room. Idiot wind, blowing every time you move your teeth. You're an idiot, babe. It's a wonder that you still know how to breathe. It was gravity which pulled us down and destiny which broke us apart. You tamed the lion in my cage, but it just wasn't enough to change my heart. Now everything's a little upside down. As a matter of fact, the wheels have stopped. What's good is bad, what's bad is good. You'll find when you reach the top, you're on the bottom. I noticed at the ceremony, your corrupt ways had finally made you blind. I can't remember your face anymore. Your mouth has changed. Your eyes don't look into mine. The priest wore black on the seventh day and sat stone-faced while the building burned. I waited for you on the running boards near the cypress trees while the springtime turned slowly into autumn. Idiot wind, blowing like a circle round my skull from the Grand Coulee Dam to the Capitol. Idiot wind, blowing every time you move your teeth. You're an idiot, babe. It's a wonder that you still know how to breathe. I can't feel you anymore. I can't even touch the books you've read. Every time I crawl past your door, I've been wishing I was somebody else instead. down the highway, down the tracks, down the road to ecstasy. I followed you beneath the stars, hounded by your memory and all your rage and glory. I've been double-crossed now for the very last time, and now I'm finally free. I kissed goodbye to the howling beast on the borderline which separated you from me. You'll never know the hurt I suffered, nor the pain I rise above. And then suddenly, a miraculous turn. His outburst about how she will never know what he feels makes him realize that he too doesn't know what she's feeling. For all that rage that is willing to turn her into an idiot, he still knows that she is human, therefore holy with love's bitter mystery. You'll never know the hurt I suffered, nor the pain I rise above, and I'll never know the same about you, your holiness, or your kind of love, and it makes me feel so sorry. And new words for the chorus, altering the whole song, turning into a complete mess of human sorrow. Idiot wind, blowing through the buttons of our coats, blowing through the letters that we wrote. Idiot wind, blowing through the dust upon our shelves. We're idiots, babe. It's a wonder we can even feed ourselves. Well, that was me reading the words, but we're about to hear Dylan singing them. Most people who write about Dylan's music talk well about the instrumentations and arrangements, but few people I've read speak about what to me is the most wonderful thing about his performance, his voice. I want you to attend to that voice, to the way it plays with the words, stretching them, twisting them, spitting them out, distorting them, softening them, hardening them, weaving together the words in an odd phrasings, speaking through gritted teeth. It's a wonder that he still knows how to breathe. I could point out individual lines for special attention, but I won't. You attend, and especially to what he does at the end of each line. Let his voice work upon you, taking you up and down in the paroxysms of the emotions here. The song begins abruptly, as though he cannot wait for an introduction to start letting the words pour out.
They cut it out quick, but when they will, I can only guess. They say I shot a man named Gray and took his wife to Italy. She inherited $1 million, and when she died, it came to me. I can't help it if I'm lucky. People see me all the time, and they just are filled with big ideas, images, and distorted facts. Even you, yesterday, you had to ask me where it was at. I couldn't believe after all these years side. Daydream about the way things sometimes are. Visions of your chestnut mare shoot through my head and are making me see stars. You hurt the words that I love best and cover up the truth with lies. Cross now for the very last time, and now I'm finally
Idiot Wind by Bob Dylan from Blood on the Tracks, 1975 album. You might have wondered why I didn't play Joker Man, which is another Joker's and Fool's song. I didn't. I didn't play All Along the Watchtower, which begins, "There must be some way out of here," said the Joker to the thief. Nope, I didn't play any of those. I played Idiot Wind. Now this is Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105, community radio in Cambridge. I'm Robert Louis Abrahamson. Our theme is Fools, Jesters and Jokers. You can reach me at lamplight at cambridge105.fm and momentsunderlamplight.com. There's also a Facebook group, a Facebook app. There's all sorts of presences on Facebook, and you can find us there. I also want to make a little announcement that tomorrow, you may have heard Patrick announce this just before his show ended at a few minutes to 10. Tomorrow night, Monday night, at the Emperor Pub on Hills Road in Cambridge, tomorrow the 28th of February, last day of February, at 7:30, Headstand, Patrick's show Headstand, is featuring a poetry reading. Come along and hear what's on for tomorrow night. One of the things going on will be actually me, and I'll be not reading my own poetry, but you know what I do. I'll be reading and discussing some poems by Robert Louis Stevenson. He's my man. I'm working on his literature, and everything I do these days has to be somehow connected with him, so I feel like I'm making progress on my big work. Next subject are jokers and fools as funny guys. Professionals, jokers, jesters. One of the great heroes of jesters and fools is, of course, Shakespeare. Now, in his company, the theatre company, the Lord Chamberlain's men, there was always an actor who played the fools in Shakespeare's plays. And the first fool Shakespeare dealt with was an actor called Will Kemp. He was especially good at sort of physical comedy. He was a kind of a clown, visual jokes and pratfalls. He was also famous for his 9 days wonder, where he danced all the way from London to Norwich, over 100 miles. That was lots of laughs. He put a book out afterwards. That's a thing we do today. They did it in Elizabethan times too. You laugh as he walks and dances past you, and then you read the book. But in 1600, Kemp was replaced as the clown in the company by Robert Armin, who was a different kind of fool. He was wittier, more cynical. He was the outsider who offers commentary about the way things go in this world, and Shakespeare had to write different kinds of characters to suit this new actor in his group. So we get Touchstone in As You Like It, who keeps making funny remarks and witticisms. There's the porter. Just one scene in Macbeth where the porter comes through speaking about the powers of alcohol to diminish one's sexual powers. It's a kind of comic interval, breaking up the horror of the murder of King Duncan. One of the best of the fools is Feste in Twelfth Night, and of course, the fool in King Lear. These are two professional fools whose job it was to tell jokes and keep the rich people amused. They're licensed fools. They're licensed to take liberties and say whatever they want, insults and all, or at least whatever they could get away with. And that was a great deal. I want to present you three songs about professional jesters. First of all, the medieval jester, or rather, a jester who didn't quite fit in. This is from a 1955 film. That's the same year as Why Do Fools Fall in Love? I don't know if anyone's ever brought these two together before. This is a film called The Maladjusted Jester. It starred Danny Kaye as the jester. It's a silly plot, and I won't even begin to go into it. But it's one that allowed Daddy Kay to bring out all his clownish talent. I want to play you the title song, The Maladjusted Jester, which was written by Sylvia Fine, whom I didn't really know until I started looking this up, but I now admire her a great deal. I think that the rhyming is very witty. And Danny Kay is his usual fine self with one of his great patter songs. He tells the king that he was not born a fool. It took work to get this way.
Your Majesty, I have a confession. My secret I must now betray. I was not a born fool. It took work to get this way. When I was a lad, I was gloomy and sad as I was from the day I was born. When other lads giggled and gurgled and wiggled, I proudly was loudly forlorn. My friends and my family looked at me clammily, thought there was something amiss. When others found various antics hilarious, all I could manage was this. Oh, this. My father, he shouted, he needs to be clouded. His teeth on a wreath, I'll hand him. My mother, she cried as she rushed to my side. You're a brute and you don't understand him. So they sent for a witch with a terrible twitch to ask how my future impressed her. She took one look at me and cried, he? What else could he be but a jester? A jester? A jester? A funny idea, a jester. No butcher, no baker, no candlestick maker, and me with the look of a fine undertaker impressed her as a jester? Now where could I learn any comical turn? It was not in a book on the shelf. No teacher to take me to mold me and make me a merry man, fool, or an elf. But I'm proud to recall that in no time at all, with no other recourses but my own resources, with firm application and determination, I made a fool of myself. I bought a little gun, I learned to shoot. I bought a little horn, I learned to toot. And I can shoot and toot, ain't that cute? I started to travel to try to unravel my mind and to find a new chance. When I got to Spain, it was suddenly plain that the field that appeared was the dance. The Spanish were clannish, but I wouldn't vanish. I learned every step they had planned. The first step of all isn't hard to recall, 'cause the first step of all is to stand and stand and stand and stand and stand and stand and... They sometimes stand this way for days. Then they get very mad at the floor and start to stamp on it. After all of my practice, the terrible fact is I made a fool of myself. I sadly decided that dancing as I did to sing was a thing that was surer. I found me a teacher, a crotchety creature who used to sing coloratura. She twisted my chin, pushed my diaphragm, and with a poker she vocalized me. When she said it was best that I throw out my chest, you may gather that rather surprised me. I was on solid ground till I suddenly found that in Venice I was to appear. The gala locale was a choppy canal, and me a high sea gondolier. I nervously purchased the gondola lurch before the king's palazzo. As I started my song, my voice, it was strong. But my stomach, I fear, was not so. No sole mio. Ooh. Oh, sole. Help! When I fell overboard, how his majesty roared, and before a siesta, he made me his jester, and I found out soon that to be a buffoon was a serious thing as a rule. For a jester's chief employment is to kill himself for your enjoyment, and a jester unemployed is nobody's fool.
That was Danny Kay, the maladjusted jester. The Spanish were clannish, but I wouldn't vanish. You like that? After all of my practice, the terrible fact is I made a fool of myself. And you can even see this part of the film and watch Danny Kay perform this and prance about on YouTube, as you can see so many other things. It's a very nasty thing, YouTube. It spoils us with giving us everything we want, a kind of Pandora's box of good things, of bad things. I don't know. Now, part of the songs told us that a jester's chief employment is to kill himself for your enjoyment. So it's not always easy, as we hear from our next song. That's from Gilbert and Sullivan's Yeoman of the Guard. It's a complaint from a private buffoon. It's another patter song with a quick succession of rhymes. Now I'm going to play you the doily card version. There are faster versions of the song, but I know you'd like to hear the words. And so this is, I think, the most articulated version I can find. Oh, a private buffoon. Not that. This.
Oh, a private buffoon is a light-hearted loon, if you listen to popular rumor. From the morn to the night, he's so joyous and bright, and he bubbles with wit and good humor. He's so quaint and so terse, both in prose and in verse, yet though people forgive his transgression, there are one or two rules that all family fools must observe if they love their profession. There are one or two rules, half a dozen maybe, that all family fools of whatever degree must observe if they love their profession. If you wish to succeed as a jester, you'll need to consider each person's auricular. What is all right for B would quite scandalize C, for C is so very particular. And D may be dull, and E's very thick, colors as empty of brains as a ladle, while F is F sharp, and will cry with a carp that he's known your best joke from his cradle. When your humor they flout, you can't let yourself go, and it does put you out when a person says, "Oh, I've known that old joke from my cradle." If your master is surly from getting up early and tempers are short in a morning, an inopportune joke is enough to provoke him to give you at once a month's warning. Then if you refrain, he is at you again, for he likes to get value for money. He'll ask then and there, with an insolent stare, if you know that you're paid to be funny. Oh, it adds to the task of a merry man's place when his principal asks with a scowl on his face, if you know that you're paid to be funny. Comes a bishop maybe, or a solemn DD, oh, beware of his anger provoking. Better not pull his hair, don't stick pins in his chair, he don't understand practical joking. If the jests that you crack have an orthodox smack, you may get a bland smile from those sages, but should they by chance be imported from France, half a crown is stopped out of your wages. It's a general rule, or your zeal it may quench, if the family fool tells a joke that's too French, half a crown is stopped out of his wages. Though your head it may rack with a bilious attack, and your senses with toothache you're losing, don't be mopey and flat, they don't fine you for that, if you're properly quaint and amusing. Though your wife ran away with a soldier that day, and took with her your trifle of money, bless your heart, they don't mind, they're exceedingly kind. They don't blame you, so long as you're funny. It's a comfort to feel, though your partner should flit, though you suffer a deal, they don't mind it a bit. They don't blame you, so long as you're funny.
There we are from Gilbert and Sullivan's Yeoman of the Guard, or Private Buffoon. I've had that song in my mind since I was about 13 or 14. It's a very good thing to give your teenagers Gilbert and Sullivan. They learn rhyme, they learn new vocabulary, they learn parody even. But the third gesture, I promised you, the third professional gesture is the modern one, and they're called stand-up comics. And here's a song by Ray Davis without the Kinks called Stand Up Comic. The man is sleazy, but he's trying his best. He's not a jester to the king or some rich patron, but to the mass crowd, the lowest common denominator seen on television, yob culture. Jack the Lad has become Oscar Wilde. It's all downhill. There's no style now, but the little bit that was all that we had. Manners. This stand-up song says, let's have a bit of them. Now look, you know what modern stand-ups are like. They're potentially using No, they are using potentially offensive language, and so does this song. So turn off now if you're a little bit sensitive for one or two words. But you're cool. The previous show had such words. We'll pull it off. Ready? Let's go.
Now, I don't mind if 50,000 yobos beat me up outside a football ground on a Saturday afternoon. I'll still come out fighting. Do you know why? You've seen me on television. I'm the lowest common denominator. And this is all about yob culture. So welcome to jolly old England. I'm the stand-up comic. Jack the Lad has become Oscar Wilde, and the followers of Star say it's the latest thing. And William Shakespeare is the schmooze of the week, and anyone who says different is a fucking antique. And Noel Coward has become very hard, and the comic says bollocks, and everyone laughs, and that's that. Style, I mean, never was much, never has been. But the little bit that was all that we had, and the clown does a belch, and we all belch back, and that's that. Jack the Lad has become Fancy Dan, and creating agriculture with a rub on tan. On all the tearaways of God's Sabbath Fair, and a working class hero's got a tinted hair. And a well-spoken hero from a yesteryear walks out onto a stage and they all shout, queer! That's that. Manners, I mean, never was much, never has been. But the little bit that was all that we had. Now the clown does a fart, we all fart back, and that's that.
Davis with Stand-Up Comic from Other People's Lives 2006 album. Now, one last bit, Fools as Wise Men. We only have a few minutes That's all that these fools ever get. They're sophomores, which is a Greek word that means a wise fool. Sophos is wise. A moron is a fool. And then there's Paul's word, that God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So the fool is one who knows better than the respectable people, and in particular the young radicals, whose outrageous demands may seem foolish, but they tell us loudly what we need to know. At least the fool is awake enough to see that something needs changing. And here's Stevenson from his essay Crabbed Age and Youth. The follies of youth have a basis in sound reason, just as much as the embarrassing questions put by babes and sucklings. Their most antisocial acts indicate the defects of our society. When the torrent sweeps a man against the boulder, you must expect him to scream, and you need not be surprised if the scream is sometimes a theory. Shelley, chafing at the Church of England, discovered the cure of all evils in universal atheism. Generous lads, irritated at the injustices of society, see nothing for it but the abolishment of everything and kingdom come of anarchy. Shelley was a young fool. So are these cock-sparrow revolutionaries. But it is better to be a fool than to be dead. It is better to emit a scream in the shape of a theory than to be entirely insensible to the jars and incongruities of life and take everything as it comes in a forlorn stupidity. Some people swallow the universe like a pill. They travel on through the world like smiling images pushed from behind. For God's sake, give me the young man who has brains enough to make a fool of himself. As for the others, the irony of facts shall take it out of their minds and make fools of them in downright earnest ere the farce be over. In short, if youth is not quite right in its opinions, there's a strong probability that age is not more so. How if there were no centre at all, but just one alley after another, and the whole world a labyrinth without end or issue?
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him. They can see that he's just a fool, and he never gives an answer. But the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round.
There we are, well on the way. We're well on the way to going out tonight on Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105. This is Robert Louis Abrahamson saying good night to you and see you next time live and with lots of fun. Bye-bye.